Please remain standing, and we will be looking at John 1, verses 9 through 13. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance before we get into the Book of Life. Our Lord and our God, I just pray that you do guide our hearts, our minds, and our ears, Lord, to hear what you would have us to learn from these words from your Book of Life. Lord, I just pray that you guard my mouth and protect me from misrepresenting you. Help me to represent you properly, in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1, starting in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You may be seated. As we continue on in this short study of John for the Christmas season, these verses here refer to our Lord Jesus as the light that is coming into the world. Now, previous to this, when they spoke of John in the verses before this, John the Baptist, it was clear that he was not the light, but he was to speak of the light. He was to be a witness to the true light. John wants to make it clear that Jesus is the source of the light. He is the light of the world. And I think this is a great comparison, you know, like what we understand for light. You know, that's what these Bible writers were inspired to do. Take the complex things that are really beyond our minds and give them to us in ways that we can understand God. In the world that we live, the realm that we live. But you know, what do we really know about natural light? And Jesus is the giver of that light as well at creation time. But what do we know about it? Well, we know that it goes about 186,000 miles a second. We can't really understand how or what the source of that speed in that is. You know, isn't that similar to like what we understand about God? We can understand he gives us new life. We can understand the gifts he gives us. But can we really comprehend completely who God is? We know the results of the natural light. When it hits the eye, it illuminates the darkness around us. We can see the brilliant colors in creation. We can see the things in a room. And I'd say most of us, we could not comprehend the world without light. I know some people are born blind, and they do. But for most of us, we cannot comprehend it. What a blessed gift it is. And when the light of Jesus Christ comes into ours, when it illuminates us to salvation, what a blessing that is. As it enlightens this darkened, filled world. This world was engulfed with darkness, the darkness of sin. But when that life-giving light comes into the eye of a believer, it transforms our view of God's creation. We can see it clearly. We see it as the handiwork of God, which it is. And it is supernatural wisdom that we receive to comprehend that. It is the light that God has given us. Again, natural light, we cannot completely comprehend how it works, but we comprehend what is the result of it. And we cannot really comprehend how God has given us a new birth, a recreation. But we can see the results of it in our lives when we've been illuminated by the light of God. We can see how it affects us, how His Word becomes real to us. You know, two people can read the same passages from the Bible, and one can completely ignore it. Why is that? They have not been illuminated. And the one that God has given the illumination of grace, they'll read those verses and it'll burn in their hearts and their minds, and they will try to comprehend and understand more of the things of God. But it is because He has given you that measure of light that gives you that comprehension, that understanding. But you know, God's light isn't just the light that He shone for believers. He gave that light to all people. The true light, which gives light to everyone, it says in verse 11, was coming into the world. There's a measure of light that all people receive. A knowledge of God, an understanding that there is a God. Man was given a reasoning mind above the animals. He could comprehend. You know, and that's why Psalm 19:1 is an expression of how God has revealed His light to man. And this is to all man. You know, it's like these LED flashlights. You know, they're great. The kids picked one up the other day, and you know, you flick it once and there's some light. You flick it again and it's brighter, and again and it's brighter. You know, that's similar to what God has done. He has given all men some light. Light through His creation. It says in verse 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day it pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You know, God gave us that light at creation to illuminate His creation. And that reveals to all men that there is a God. And it goes forth every day shining that light to all people. It leaves man without an excuse. But it is the light of life that is shining to all people. Our God's desire is that none should perish. But you know, God gives another witness. In Romans 1, it tells us, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And they suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. In verse 21, it says, for although they knew God, you know, if you go in any part of the world, some of the most wildest tribes, they always are worshiping some sort of God. And that has been from ancient history. Every civilization, they have some sort of God they worship. It is put in man that there is a creator God. They may twist it, they may turn it, and make a god in their own image. They may make it like it says, out of wood. One thing, they cook their food and heat their house, and then they carve an idol out of it and worship it. But there is a knowledge in men that there is a God. There is a supreme being. That is the light of God. A second witness from Jesus Christ. Another flick on that flashlight of brightness to show that, yes, God is here. And then we have our Lord's incarnation. The light gets brighter. The gospel message going through all the world. You know, the early writers, the apostles, they said that the gospel had spread through all the known world at that time. That light was shining, but men suppressed it and returned to darkness. You know, we see that in our nations, in many nations. Look at the history of many people here, the Dutch Republic. How Christianity raised that up. Only now that nation has returned to darkness. It's the largest exporter of pornography. When I was in Panama a couple years ago, we talked quite a bit with a Dutch couple. Witnessed to them. They were not believers. They said there's very few believers. And that light was shining in their nation, yet they suppressed it. Look at Germany, the cradle of the Reformation. The truth is there. The light shines in the world, but it is suppressed by many people. And in Revelation 16:6, it tells us, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language of people." God's light does shine in this darkened world. It shines for mankind because God loves mankind. And it will again shine in those places where it was rejected, in those dark regions. Maybe it was their fathers, grandfathers, or great-grandfathers who rejected that light. But the light will return and shine in for those. Again, God does not wish any to perish. But you know how the hearts of man are. We see it time and time. And I think the greatest tragedy recorded in the Bible is Jesus Christ being rejected by his own people, his own nation. John mentions that here in verse 10. "He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." You know, this had to be one of the greatest suppressings of the truth in the history of the world. Look at what God's people had. The patriarchs, God spoke directly to them. He gave them promises, covenants, and continually fulfilled them. He gave them prophets who were with the people to talk, be the mouthpiece of God, the Word of God, directly from God. The miracles he performed, the taking over of nations, the prophecies concerning himself. And yet these people rejected Jesus Christ. You know, the prophecy from Zechariah, he was the one who would go in, who was selected, the one person to go in to the Holy of Holies that year. Just think of the witness that was when he came out where he could not speak. They knew he had seen a vision. They knew there was a supernatural event. And because he was the one selected that year, anything he said or did that year would be of great importance. And what did he say when he spoke, when his mouth was loosed? "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Then speaking of John, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Notice the emphasis on light. John knew the emphasis was on Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The sunrise shall visit us. More light will be given to this darkened world. You know, we see all this light shines. You know, it was made flesh. These words from Zechariah were known by the people, this prophecy. He was probably the most popular priest in that year because he was selected. Yet they suppressed this. But they also had Simeon in the temple in Luke 2. And he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, again, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Notice again the emphasis on light, but now this light is expanded. It's not just for the Jewish people, for the glory of the people of Israel, a light for revelation to the Gentiles that now includes us. This light would now shine beyond God's selected people. It would shine to us. We see the evidence of that truth. We see it in the Son of God who is given to us, his ministry and his word. How could the Jewish people at that time reject such great a witness, suppress such great truth? He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Quite to the contrary, they would kill him. You know, it shows us how darkened the heart of man can be. But you know, that suppressing of the truth, man's rejection of God's truth, of God's light, time and time again on this planet Earth, will not defeat it, will not suppress it permanently. Because, you know, in verse 5 of John 1, it tells us the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thankfully, our Lord will continue to shine a light. And that light now is a revelation to the Gentiles, to us. It is beyond God's people. And when that light shines and it illuminates the soul, that we understand the need of a Savior, we understand the need of God. It tells us in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Notice it's a right, it's a privilege given only to God's people. And we know that Jesus is the source of that divine revelation. That divine spiritual power, when it enters into the eyes of our souls and illuminates the truths concerning God found in creation and in his written word. Without that divine truth, nobody would be saved. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. You know, I have brothers and sisters that aren't saved. You can witness the Bible to them. And I'm sure you may have the same situations. You can tell them of God's word. They know of God's word, yet it has no effect on them. It's because the Holy Spirit has not illuminated their hearts. You know, we can only understand the spiritual realm when our hearts are illuminated. At one time, it was like we were in a dark room. But when Jesus Christ puts that light of salvation into your hearts, it illuminates it so you can understand His truths. You can look at the Scriptures and you can say, I may not understand this completely, but I believe it. I believe the promises of God. You know, in verse 4, it tells us, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That new life is the rebirth life for believers. The Word is the giver of life, the very expression of God. It is transformed by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to all of us. Again, without Jesus being the light of the world, we could not see God. We would not know God. There would be no spiritual life transformed to men. We would not understand the nature of God. It is only given because that Word became flesh. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The result of that is, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. That's you and I. The right. He gave us that right. He gave us that right that we could understand the Scriptures. That's why in Romans 10:10 it tells us, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We wouldn't even know who to call on if our hearts had not been illuminated. Are illuminated to the fullest that we could accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Saints, who are you? Who are you? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may declare the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. Saints, you are the enlightened ones. You have been enlightened by the love of God and have been given knowledge and understanding and spiritual blessings from God, which resulted in your new birth, which made you alive in Christ. And you are now part of that royal priesthood. And as a priest, you are to represent God to man. And you must proclaim His excellencies. Because He called you out of darkness. He wants you to call other people out of darkness. Saints, this is a precious gift, a gift we did not earn, we did not deserve. There was nothing we could do on this side of eternity to possess it on our own effort. And that is made clear in verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The only reason you're sitting in these pews today is because Jesus Christ enlightened your heart and called you to himself and gave you the knowledge to accept his faith and for you to cry out and call him Abba Father. It's what he has done. Now, why does John systematically reveal this to us? The nature of Jesus, the result of him being the light, the result of what this child who lay in the manger . Why does he do it? He does it because God saved you for a reason. He saved all of us for a cause. You know, what did the Bible say about John the Baptist? You know, you always picture him in a fur and kind of wild hair and that. But in Matthew 11, it makes it clear. These are the words of Jesus. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. So he is a pretty great man in God's eyes. And what was his task? John 1:7. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. That him at the end is referring to John the Baptist, that men should believe through him. God uses men and women to bring others to faith in believing. God uses his saints. God uses us. It's through each and every believer that God's kingdom is advanced, that his church is grown. And I'm going to tell you, there is no excuse. If you are in Christ, you are to be participating as a soul winner. No excuse. You cannot say, I'm not good enough to do it. I can't do it. I'm not like John. John was greater. Have the preacher do it. Have the elder do it. No. You have no excuse. Because at the end of that Matthew verse, it says, yet the one who is the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You are in the kingdom of heaven right now. And you are greater than John the Baptist. We have the complete revelation of God's light. That little LED light is shined on as bright as it can go. We have history. We have the Word. We have His written Word. We have so much more. So much more. Because of Him, you are great and mighty. You have powers beyond yourself. Far beyond yourself. And all he asks you to do is live up to that expectation. That to take the gifts that he has given you and go out and use them. And he will advance his kingdom through you. That's his promise. We are to plant and water. And you are good enough to do it, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Each and every believer is already in the kingdom of heaven. Our greatest task, our greatest gift we can give to anybody is to share God's love this Christmas season and throughout the year. Teach us to be such a people. Amen. Lord, I just pray that you do guide us and start with me. Start with me to be a witness to you in season and out. To demonstrate the love that you showed me. that I can show it to others. And I just pray that you give the increase, Lord. Amen.